In Proverbs chapter 22 this evening, reading from verses 8 through 12. Notice when as we come to verse 8, we're just going to take our title from verse 11. We're going to title this Pureness of Heart. He said in verse 8, he said, "He that soweth iniquity shall reap vanity, and the rod of his anger shall fail. He that hath a bountiful eye shall be blessed, for he giveth his bread to the poor. Cast out the scorner, and contention shall go out, yea, strife and reproach shall cease. He that loveth pureness of heart, for the grace of his lips, the king shall be his friend. The eyes of the Lord preserve knowledge, and he overthroweth the words of the transgressor." Heavenly Father, we do ask this evening for thy blessings to be upon the service. We thank you, Lord, for healing that you've brought in different ones here of us in the church. And Lord, we just pray tonight, again, thy will to be done. We pray your blessings upon the reading of Holy Scripture. For we ask all of these things in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Last week we were in verse 7, and we just titled that The Danger of Debt. And tonight, verses 8 through 12 that we'll be looking at. Notice here in verse 8, now some of these subjects, like I say, we've come to them, and so we'll not spend lots of time and we'll just give a few references and move on. But in verse 8, he said, "He that soweth iniquity shall reap vanity, and the rod of his anger shall fail." The sowing of iniquity shall reap vanity. I'm going to be reading in Galatians, if you want to turn there. Galatians 6, a familiar passage. And there's a few other verses I'll just give to you. One is Psalms 109, verse 16 through 20. And another one is in the book of Hosea. There's several. I just usually pick out a few. But there's one in Hosea chapter 10, making sure I give you the right one here for this. In other words, what we're looking at is that the seed time of iniquity will end in the harvest of vanity. And the word vanity in our text in Proverbs is basically has the ideal of calamity, trouble, misery, things of that nature. And I'll just go ahead and read first in Hosea, then we'll read in Galatians. In Hosea chapter 10, verse 12 and 13, it says, "Sow to yourself in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up the foul ground, for it is time to seek the Lord till he come and rain righteousness upon you." Then in verse 13, he said, "You have plowed wickedness, you have reaped iniquity, you have eaten the fruit of lies, because thou didst trust in thy way, in the multitude of thy mighty men." So this is a really good passage on this as well. But in Galatians, and I know that you're familiar with this, you can probably quote these verses here. But in Galatians chapter 6, verse 7, especially verse 7 and 8, he says here in verse 7 and 8, he said, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." Verse 8, "For he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting." And so we see here the principle of sowing and reaping, and the seed time and harvest are linked together in the spiritual, in our spiritual life, as well as in the natural. And we know that in the natural, what seed is sown, that's exactly what you're going to get in the harvest. And so the same is true when we talk about our spiritual life. The crop must be according to the seed. So if we sow iniquity, then that's what we'll reap. If we sow righteousness, then that's what we'll reap as well. Now notice as we come back here to our text, he said in verse, reading this passage again, he said in verse 8, "He that soweth iniquity shall reap vanity." And then he goes on to say in the second part of the verse, the rod of his anger shall fail. And the ideal here, when he said the rod of his anger shall fail, in other words, the wrath of the wicked and smiting other people in a cruel manner, that shall come back to punish the individual that does it. In other words, it's the same thought as the first part of the verse, just put in different words. Now, I'll give you three examples of this. I'm not going to turn to them. But one of them is in Isaiah 14, especially verses 1 through 6, in speaking of Babylon, and Babylon who was cruel to Israel. We find especially, well, actually all of chapter Isaiah 13 and then a big part of chapter 14 is showing what would come upon Babylon, and we see the Medes and Persians, what they did to Babylon. So they, Babylon received back, wickedness for the wickedness that they had done to other, to the children of Israel. Also in Isaiah 37, verse 36, we find that the Assyrians who were cruel to Judah, we find that the Lord sent one angel and killed 185,000 of the soldiers in one day. And again, they were cruel to God's people, and He brought judgment upon them. And one other place is in Numbers chapter 31, verse 8. And obviously the surrounding context, the Midianites, they were cruel to the children of Israel, and then God also had brought judgment upon them. So verse 8 again, he that soweth iniquity shall reap vanity, and the rod of his anger shall fail. In other words, all of this will come back upon the individual that does harm to other people. Now in verse 9, he says in verse 9, he that hath a bountiful eye shall be blessed, for he giveth of his bread to the poor. Now this is kind of a subject that we keep coming to. We'll see it again in this chapter. But here's just a few verses that I'll give you on this. The bountiful eye is describing the charitable man or woman. And chapter 11 and verse 25, it says this, chapter 11, verse 25, the liberal soul. Now, the liberal, the word liberal here is not as we hear it used in the political arena today. And it's talking about here in the, this is used in a good way. The liberal soul shall be made fat. In other words, they will be blessed. And said, and he that watereth shall be watered also himself. In other words, the blessings comes upon those that freely give and are willing to help others. And then also in the in chapter 14 and in verse 21, in chapter 14 and in verse 21, he that despiseth his neighbor sinneth, but he that hath mercy on the poor, happy is he. And again, this is a running theme that we see not only in the book of Proverbs, but throughout the Scripture. But notice with me, turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 9, another tremendous passage here in the New Testament. 2 Corinthians 9. Now I'm going to read verse 6, 7, and 8 in reference to our text in Proverbs. Verse 6, 7, and 8. You see, God blesses a cheerful and liberal soul. We find that the eye is the index of the soul. And again, it's speaking of a merciful heart. And we find that Nehemiah, in Nehemiah chapter 5, verse 16 through 18, was willing to spend and use his substance to help Israel as they went back to rebuild the city and rebuild the temple. The Lord Jesus in Matthew 9, verse 36 through 38, He had great compassion on individuals. So that's the thought here. Now notice in 2 Corinthians 9, verses 6, 7, and 8, He said, but this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Verse 7, every man according as his purpose in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And then he said in verse 8, here's the blessings that come upon the cheerful giver. He said in verse 8, God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. So we find here the reaping, the sowing, and we find here that God loves a cheerful giver, and God will bless those who give. Notice back with me in our text. He says here in verse, coming back to chapter 22 in verse 9, and I'm going to give you another passage on the latter part of this. But he said in verse 9, he that hath a bountiful eye shall be blessed. And again, this is describing a charitable individual. And then he says, for he giveth of his bread to the poor. In other words, he's ready to help the poor, and God's blessings will be upon him. And one of the greatest verses in the Old Testament here would be Deuteronomy. I've given this to you a few times in our series in Proverbs, but Deuteronomy 15, verses 7 through 11. That's worth reading and making note of. It speaks of those who are, and he says, the poor, as Jesus said, they'll always be with you. They'll never cease to exist. And so Moses not only said this, but the Lord Jesus said it as well. And again, it's just helping the poor. And we're going to see, we've seen this through the book of Proverbs. Chapter 21, verse 13, the cry of the poor. And we'll see it again even in this chapter and throughout the rest of the book. So verse 9 again, he says, he that hath a bountiful eye shall be blessed, for he giveth of his bread to the poor. Notice as we come to verse 10. He says in verse 10, he said, cast out the scorner, and contention shall go out, yea, strife and reproach shall cease. You notice each verse is a different subject. And this, we just have a variety of subjects here. So here in this passage, he said, cast out the scorner, and contention shall go out, yea, strife and reproach shall cease. The word scorn has the idea to mock or despise or to scoff at something. And so when he says here to cast out the scorner, he's talking about the one who disrupts the peace. That could be in a family, that could be in a church, that could be in a nation. But cast out the scorner. You can write down chapter 13 and in verse 10 if you're have taken notes, chapter 13 and verse 10. And also in chapter 26, verse 20 and 21. He says here, where no wood is, there the fire goeth out. So where there is no talebearer, the strife ceases. Verse 21, as coals are to burning coals and wood to fire, so is a contentious man to kindle strife. And so the ideal here in verse 10, I'll give you a couple of examples that we'll not turn to, but when he says, cast out the scorner and contention shall go out, yea, strife and reproach shall cease. Some examples of this would be Ishmael in Genesis chapter 21, verses 9 through 12. God told Abraham that it was time for him to leave. Abraham's wife had talked to him about this. And God said, listen to her because it's time for him to leave because he was mocking. He had got caught mocking, and so he was sent out. And that's repeated again in Galatians 4, I believe it's verse 30. Another example in 1 Corinthians 5, verse 11 through 13, we find that the man that was causing problems in the church, and it basically was through fornication. The Apostle Paul writes the letter. The whole chapter is dealing with the subject and says basically, put him out until he repents. I'm putting that in my own words. But put him out until he repents. And the reason I say until he repents is because this man did repent, as we read 2 Corinthians, and he was to be brought back into the assembly. Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 19 speaks of those that sow discord. Titus 3 verses 10 and 11 basically tells us that a man that is a heretic after the first and second admonition, how many know what the word is? Reject. Just to reject. So here we find that he says, cast out the scorner. That is one, the one who mocks, the one who is disturbing the peace, the one who is scoffing at what is right and holy. He says, cast out the scorner, and contention shall go out, yea, strife and reproach shall cease. Notice with me now as we come to verse 11. Again, some of these subjects we've covered, and so I'm just briefly making some comments on them. Now notice in verse 11, like verse 9, a very positive verse. Well, they're all positive, but you know what I mean. He said in verse 11, he said, he that loveth pureness of heart. This is where I took the title from. He that loveth. In other words, the person that delights in this. He that loveth pureness of heart. Notice, for the grace of his lips, the king shall be his friend. So what is pureness of heart? It's the one whose goal is to be all that God wants them to be. In other words, totally surrendered to the will of God. Chapter 21 and verse 8 says, the way of man is forward and strange, but as for the pure, his work is right. And you'd have this again with the virtuous woman in Proverbs chapter 31 and verse 26. We find the Lord Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount, in Matthew 5 and verse 8, says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. In other words, they shall see His will. They'll understand His ways. They will understand His truth. They'll also be partakers of His love and of His fellowship. Now notice he says again in verse 11, he that loveth pureness of heart. So that's it. That's important. He that loveth this. In other words, desires it, wants it more than anything else, to have a pure and clean heart. But notice the latter part of the verse. He says, for the grace of his lips. Of course, one that is pure in heart, they're going to be speaking the right things. They're going to be speaking according to God's Word. But something interesting here, he said, for the grace of his lips, the king shall be his friend. I'll give you three examples of this that we find in the Scriptures. And there's many. One is Ezra, in Ezra chapter 6. And we find that Darius and Cyrus, both the kings of the Medes and Persians, that they showed favor to help him to go back and those that went with him to rebuild the city and to rebuild the temple, the house of God. And we find also Joseph. Joseph found favor in the eyes of the king. Now, Joseph at this time was in, and this is in Genesis 41, verse 37 through 45. Actually, you'd need to read the whole chapter to get the context. But Pharaoh had a dream. And that dream, the bottom line was, there's going to be 7 years of plenty, and there's going to be 7 years of famine. And the way God gave him the dream, neither Pharaoh nor those that were around him could give an answer. All of the wise men, they couldn't give an answer of the dream. Well, Joseph was in the dungeon. He was in prison. So someone remembered this man might have an answer. And so he comes and he speaks for God, because God gave Pharaoh the dream and God gave Joseph to give him the answer. So he gave the answer. And when we read, especially verse 37 through 45, we find that Joseph found great favor in the eyes of Pharaoh, the king. And matter of fact, he became second in rank among that whole nation. And he told Pharaoh exactly what to do, to gather food and store food for 7 years, and then you'll have 7 years to feed the people after that. And so he found favor in the eyes of the king. He says here, "For the grace of his lips, the king shall be his friend." And the other example is in the book of Daniel. In Daniel chapter 6, this is where Daniel is thrown into the lion's den. And it says in the first few verses of this chapter, it says, "It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom. And over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might have accounts unto them, give counts rather unto them, and the king should have no damage. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes, because he had an excellent spirit in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm." So here's another case where somebody had pure heart, pure motives, and they spoke well, spoke the truth of God's word. And so anyway, the Bible tells us in verse 4, the presidents and priests sought to find occasion against Daniel, and they could not. So they convinced the king to make a law that no one could pray or get an answer from any God except from the king for a certain period of time. You know the story. Daniel kept doing what he always did. He kept praying and seeking the Lord. He prayed three times a day toward Jerusalem. And of course, he's thrown in the lion's den, and he's saved. And it saddened the king, because the king loved Daniel. But when you read toward the end of this chapter, from about verse 25 to 28, this is how it all turned out. It said, "Then King Darius wrote unto all people, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men tremble and fear before the God of Daniel, for he is the living God, and steadfast forever, and his kingdom, that which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall be even unto the end. He delivereth, he rescueth, and he worketh signs and wonders in heaven and in earth, who hath delivered Daniel from the power of the lions." So this Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian. So there's three good examples of our passage in coming back here to verse 11. "He that loveth pureness of heart, for the grace of his lips, the king shall be his friend." And there's other examples that we can find in the scripture and in history, but these are three good examples. So we find in Habakkuk 1:13 that God the King is pure. And the question is, do we want to be his friend? And if we do, we need pureness of heart. Now, one more verse and we'll be through. Notice in verse 12, he said, "The eyes of the Lord preserveth knowledge, and he overthroweth the words of the transgressors." Now, the eyes of the Lord, chapter 15 and in verse 3 I know some of you have taken notes. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. We find this thought in Psalms 34:15. The eyes of the Lord is upon the righteous. We also know that in 2 Chronicles 16:9, the eyes of the Lord run throughout the earth, basically looking for those who love God, that will trust Him, and that are righteous. But I want you to notice with me in Psalms. Notice with me in Psalms 12. Notice with me in Psalms 12. We'll just read this and turn back and close, but I'll give you just a few others. Notice as we come to Psalms chapter 12. Now, what we have in our text in Proverbs, when he talks about the eyes of the Lord preserving knowledge, this illustrates God's faithfulness in keeping the truth from one generation to the next. And of course, God uses men to do that. We know that by 2 Peter 1:22, holy men spake, then of course they wrote the Scriptures because they were moved by the Holy Ghost. In Romans 3, verse 2, part of that verse says, unto them were committed the oracles of God, that is, the Jews. The Jewish nation preserved, you know, the Scriptures throughout many years, and the church has preserved the Scripture throughout the last 2,000 years. But God has used men to do this. God is the protector and defender of the truth. Now, an interesting passage is in 2 Chronicles, if you're taking notes, verse 34, verses 14 through 18, and I would suggest read the whole chapter. But there is a single copy of the Scripture that was found when it seemed that all hope was lost and forgotten. And through all of that, reformation came to God's people there in the Old Testament. When you began reading in that chapter from verse 1, Josiah comes to the throne and he's very young. I think he was 8 years of age. When he's 16, he started seeking the Lord. I think it's when he was 20 that he started making changes. In other words, getting rid of idols and things of that nature. But when he had them to start repairing the house of God, you can just imagine this, you know, the house of God. At one time he had idols put in it. But he started repairing the house of God. He had given money to certain ones to start doing this and to get the Levites back together and those kind of things. And they found a copy of the Word of God, a single copy of the Word of God. And Josiah rent his clothes. He humbled himself before God. And when you read toward the end of that chapter, there's a prophecy made to Josiah. And again, great things happen for this nation. God had preserved this one copy of His Word. He had preserved that. And He's preserved His Word. We have it before us today in our own language, as I mentioned to you Sunday night. So notice in Psalms 12, and I'm just going to read from verses 1. The verses I'm after, for those of you taking notes, is verse 6 and 7. But let me just read from verse 1, because we're going to turn back and close. He says, "Your help, Lord," this is David writing, "for the godly man ceases, for the faithful fail from among the children of men. They speak vanity, every one with his neighbor, with flattering lips, and with a double heart do they speak." Now we're talking about in Proverbs about pureness of heart. In the verse before we just read, he said in verse 3, "The Lord shall cut off all flattering lips and the tongue that speaketh proud things, who have said, with our tongue will we prevail, our lips are our own. who is the Lord over us, for the oppression of the poor, for the sighing of the needy. Now will I arise, saith the Lord, I will set him in safety from him that puffeth at him. Now here's the two verses I'm after. He said, the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth purified seven times. So God's word is pure. Amen. But not only that, in verse 7, we find that God keeps them and preserves them. He said in verse 7, thou shalt keep them, O Lord, and thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. Yes. We have the word of God in our generation. Amen. This was spoken hundreds and thousands of years ago. And so we have the word of God. So let us close in our text in verse 12 as we come back. Again, God is a protector and defender of truth. And he says here in verse 12, the eyes of the Lord preserveth knowledge, and he overthroweth the words of the transgressor. Would you stand with me, please? Heavenly Father, we do thank you tonight for this, again, this privilege that you've given us to assemble together in thy house with thy people. We thank you for this day. We thank you for your love and mercy to us. And Lord, we thank you that you have preserved your word for us. And we ask, Lord, that we would all love and desire pureness of heart. We ask all of these things in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.